Commencement, the Beginning of a New Era in Higher Education by Kate Colbert and Joe Sallustio with contributions by Elvin Freites is now available for pre-order on Amazon. Get your Kindle edition or your softbound book. It's going to be
amazing.
Advanced 360 Education is a data-focused digital marketing company with proven positive outcomes for educational institutions. To learn more, visit a360education.com or call Anthony Espinosa at 310-704-5369. That's Advanced 360 Education. Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the EdUp Experience podcast, where we make education your business. Dr. Joe Sallustio here with you again on another episode with another amazing guest. Of course, I want to remind everybody, and you're going to hear it at the beginning of every episode here of the EdUp Experience, is to remind you all that we are writing a book called Commencement, the Beginning of a New Era in Higher Education. Who is informing this book? Well, many of you, college and university presidents. Of course, we're including insights from over 100 college and university presidents that we have interviewed on this podcast. And we're taking all those themes and trends and distilling them down and putting them into a book, because who can go back? Well, some of you can, but who can go back and listen to over 100 college and university presidents? Maybe somebody could, but then you have to filter out a lot of other people we've interviewed to get to those 100 or so college and university presidents. I think we've interviewed 150 or 160 at this point. Anyway, so much information. It's like information overload for my brain. So I got to write it out on paper. Commencementthebook.com is where you can find information. We've got it out for pre-order on the website. It'll be pre-ordered on Amazon soon. Enough of the gratuitous self-promotion, but I think it's an important and could be a landmark book for higher education, because who has interviewed so many amazing people and put them together in one spot? Somebody we'd like to add to the book is my guest today, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming with some very unique perspectives. Here he is. His name is Matthew Scogan. He's president of Hope College. Matthew, what's going on? Matt, I'll call you
hey,
Matt.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me. Sorry, Dr. Joe. Get your title
well,
right.
You know
it's
what?
Great that's to be with you. I'm honored to be among the many, many impressive people that you've had on this podcast. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, you got to get to this formal higher ed dance. My name is Dr. Joseph, and then after I say that, then I'm like, you know what? People call me Joe. It's fine. I'm the doctor. It was a self accomplishment, not for anything else than that. But I appreciate it, Matt. So much going on at Hope College. So much to talk about. Before we talk about what I think is a very interesting development at your college, which is the Hope Forward program, I want you to talk about Hope College in general for the audience member that is sitting out there going, what is Hope College? Maybe I've heard of it. Maybe I haven't. Where are you? What do you do? And how do you do it?
Great. We are a Christian liberal arts institution. We're located in Holland, Michigan, which is right on the shore of Lake Michigan, about 35, 45 minutes from Grand Rapids. If you're in Chicago and follow the lake up, we're about 2.5 hours drive from Chicago. We have about 3,200 students. We're a bit over that, close to 3,300 today, but our size is in general about 3,200 students. We're 161 years old. We're starting our 161st academic year this fall. Like I said, pretty traditional liberal arts college in terms of our academic offerings. We are a decidedly Christian school, but we apply our Christian invitation. We apply our Christian mission in an invitational way. And we also are trying to create a sort of a big tent. We call ourselves an ecumenical Christian school, which means we try to rally around kind of the core historic Christian teachings, but are not denominational in how we apply that. So we today, our student body is about 25% Catholic, 75% other wow. other denominations, obviously a lot of Protestant. We have some Eastern Orthodox among us as well. And so we're trying to do the opposite of what's happening in churches and denominations around the country and throughout the world, when we have so many churches and denominations that are dividing or divided. We're trying to do the opposite, bring people together and create an academic environment where we say we're united around some core convictions about who God is and what he's done for us. And around those core convictions, there's a lot of freedom to disagree and put some big questions on the table. So yeah, that gives you a flavor for hope. As I like to say, we're one of the only institutions in the world that's not named after a person or a geography. Our name is Hope, and that mindset, that ideal, that virtue, we try to have that permeate every single thing we do here. What that means is that, I'll say this last thought, we try to make a distinction between hope and optimism, and we say that an optimistic person is someone who just believes that the world is going to get better on its own. You don't necessarily have to do anything about it. Whereas a hopeful person is an action-oriented person. A hopeful person is someone who says, I think the world can get better, but I think I am supposed to play a role in doing that. And again, because of our faith-based mission, we believe in a God who says, with me, all things are possible. And therefore, we ought to be a people who look at the challenges of the world and say, nevertheless, the world is pretty challenging, but I see hope, and I think I can play a role in making this a better place. And that's the mindset, the virtue, the ideal that we try to have permeate every single thing we do here, from the classroom to our co-curricular opportunities for students. So yeah, we're proud of our place. We think we got a great thing going on, and hopefully that gives you a little flavor for what Hope College is.
Amazing.
I love it. I love the how you can articulate your differentiators, right? That's a big missing piece for many colleges today, is that they fail to articulate their differentiation that they offer. You know, if you go back, I'm not a higher ed doomsday person. But there's a lot of them out there right now. You can go to LinkedIn and you can just look around and be, oh, higher ed's going to die. And, you know, this, that, and the other. I actually think higher ed will reinvent itself in many ways. But if you go to those higher ed doomsday folks and you say two phrases and you put them together, Christian and liberal arts, that's what they would say. Those doomsday folks are the first, I don't want to say sectors, but the first segment of higher education that would be in trouble. Faith-based institutions that are liberal arts, that have liberal arts at their foundation, because they're very general, and they're having endowment troubles, or they're having enrollment troubles because less are enrolling in faith-based institutions. How are you guys doing in a general sense, Matt, with your enrollment, your outlook, your innovation internally to try to continue moving things forward?
Yeah, it's a very challenging environment for higher education in general. I think a lot of it goes back to the business model, and we can talk about what we're trying to do to reimagine how students can fund their education. And we're trying to move away from a tuition-based model. We have a vision that we're working on called Hope Forward, and I'm sure we'll come back to that. In general, we're proud of the fact that Hope College is bucking a lot of the trends. Our enrollment is up, it's not down. We will welcome our largest freshman class in history this fall. We have not bought these students. In fact, our discount rate has gone in the opposite direction for the first year in many years. So it actually went down, not up. So we feel like we've got some momentum. And I think, I know that there are some critics and some naysayers out there who say, Christian liberal arts education, how is that really relevant to today's modern high-tech world? And I actually think it's more relevant than ever. And the case I make is that because we're a Christian institution, and we view, this is how what I was trying to say when I was talking about hope. We view our purpose as trying to help our students discover their purpose. We view the world in such a way where we think God made each of us individually, and we have a role to play in this world. And we're trying to help our students discover their reason for existence. And we think that at the end of the day, that's what everybody's looking for. That's what everybody wants. Why in the world am I here? Does this world make any sense? And you know, what is going on? And because we're because of our mission, we can put big questions on the table and give students a pretty safe environment in which to roll around in those big questions. Questions like, is there a God? How could there be a good God when the world is so messed up? What role am I supposed to play in this crazy world? And at the end of the day, those aren't religious questions. They're not. They're human questions. And I think because of our mission, we can put those very important existential human questions on the table in a way in which, in a way that allows our students to roll around in them. And therein come through it, having discovered in a deeper way what their purpose on this planet is. And so, yes, it's about education, but we view our purpose as way deeper than just education. It is this sort of as I said, helping students discover their purpose, helping students discover their calling. And I think at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants. And I think people want that actually today more than ever, obviously because of what we've all been through over the last 2 or 3 years. The world is so broken. And I think most people are waking up in the morning saying, what in the world is going on? How can I make sense of this? And what role can I play to try to make this world a better place?
You know, without getting political, because we don't go too deep and we don't go to politics here at UP. But I will say, and this is just from my own circle, how there are many, many folks that I interact with that maybe don't come from a religious foundation that are rethinking where they send their kids to school, how they send their kids to school. After you see shootings or you see this lack of morality around us, people go, you know what, maybe this foundational religious education is not so bad. You know, having morals and this hope, as you say, might prevent some of this lack of, I don't know, just the lack of humanity that is taking place around us. And so on your website, I saw, you know, this line, there's no better time for someone to experience Hope College. Why do you think now is the right time for parents, for adults to consider a Hope education or maybe a hopeful education?
Yeah, I think if you think about this generation of 18 to 22 year olds, they've experienced the brokenness of this world in a more palpable way than probably any generation since the greatest generation of World War II. This is a generation of students that was born either just before or just after 9/11, when they were in their early school years, the Great Recession hit, and now here they are in college or about to start college, on the heels of a pandemic, in the midst of all of this division and racial injustice. And I think this is a generation of students that is, as I said, shaped by that brokenness, perhaps in a way that we just haven't seen in a long time. And I think that's precisely what we're trying to help guide our students through, a process of understanding the world around them, and an education that helps them tap into their purpose and the role that they're supposed to play in this broken world. So that's why we say there's never been a better time to get a Hope College education, because at the end of the day, it's about hope. And that is what the world is desperately in need of right now. The world
100%.
Is desperately in need of hope. So that's why we say that. And that's why we're going after it. And by the way, I think that's why we have momentum. I think that's why students are saying they want to be here and they want to be part of this. And it's not, I mean, there's a, you know, we're, as I said, we're decidedly Christian. We're ecumenical about it. We're not decidedly conservative or liberal. We're actually trying to be balanced. We're trying to create a faculty that looks the way our country looks. If our country's roughly 50-50, I'd love to have our faculty be roughly 50-50. I want to create this environment where students can really roll around in big questions and we can pursue truth together, because, again, because of our Christian mission, we are a place that does believe in truth. And therefore, we believe by definition that every question has an answer, and we're not going to get it right all of the time, but we're going to try. We're going to try to go after big questions and try to learn together and try to decipher our way through an understanding of let's pursue truth together.
Well, there's one thing that amongst all of that stands out for today's student, dare I say consumer, and that is this.
Money.
It's money. It's how much money, how much does it cost? How am I going to avoid debt? What do I do? How do I understand it? And you've got two really interesting programs that I think are really, you know, there was a lot of news about Hope College there for a bit and your Hope Forward program, which I want you to talk about second, actually. But I would like you to talk about first, because Hope Forward is happening in the future, in a couple of years. But right now you have the Anchored Tuition Pledge, which I think is a really interesting differentiator as a student coming in to say, this is what I'm going to pay, that this is the way I understand of how I'm going to pay and what my debt's going to be year to year, because you have an anchored tuition pledge, which is basically whatever price you start with is the price that you continue with through the entirety of your education. You can correct me if I'm wrong in any of this. And then talk about Hope Forward and that really innovative initiative that you have and what that looks like. So basically, open floor, anchored tuition pledge, Hope Forward. What are they and how are they going to help your university?
Hope Forward is a long-term ambition to move away from a tuition-based model, essentially to reimagine how students fund their education. It's not free tuition, but rather it's a different way of paying for your education, paying for it after, not before. I'll describe that in a second. What we decided to do with anchored tuition is because that's it's a long-term journey to get to Hope Forward. We are starting. We're starting intentionally small with Hope Forward. We have about 60 students on a pilot, a Hope Forward pilot right now. So we're testing and learning and
amazing,
and potentially course correcting along the way if we need to. But as we're on this journey, we wanted to basically say we're going to put our money where our mouth is because we're trying to move to a business model that's more affordable and more accessible for students and families. But that's a longer-term destination for us to reach. Anchor tuition was a way for us to, as I said, put our money where our mouth is. So what the anchor tuition pledge works in a very simple way. We basically say that the tuition rate you start with will never go up as long as until you finish your studies. So, you know, if you decide you want to study at Hope for 10 years, that's fine. Your tuition rate will not go up over the course of the time you want to pursue your degree. So simple as that. It's just simply a pledge that we won't change the tuition rate you start with. Hope Forward.
I want to just jump in. Let me just say that it seems really simple to say that, but there's a lot of back end work. You know, the universities want to come out and say that we're going to freeze tuition. Then you have to think about what that means. You have to track it for the particular cohorts. You have to make sure that your SIS is accurately tracking it. You have to make sure that your staff is able to look up that information and know where it is. So there's a lot of back end work that goes into a commitment like that. It's not always just a front facing, like we're not going to raise tuition. You have to prepare all the parts of the university to manage that. And that does take an undertaking of commitment, time, and training. So, and I bring that up, Matt, because I know I've done something similar. And it's like, you really have to prepare everyone behind you to be ready for that, because there is different information, different billing, different financial aid packaging for every student. So kudos to your staff for being prepared to handle that for 3,500 students.
Yeah, there's definitely complexity. I appreciate you pointing that out. We did freeze tuition for a couple years in a row during COVID. We just froze it for everybody. And now, because the reality of inflation is at the point where it is today, you know, there are going to be some inflationary pressures on our costs. And so what we're trying to do with anchored tuition is have basically a frozen tuition strategy that also recognizes, at least for this season, the reality of inflation. So this year for new students, for incoming students, the tuition rate did go up a little bit, but it's going to stay there the whole time they're at Hope. So what you're talking about in terms of billing, that means that different students at Hope are paying different prices. Now, we have that already, right? Because different students come with different scholarship packages. So there's already some complexity there. But yes, this did add another layer of complexity to the finance and operations folks.
Advanced 360 Education is a data-focused digital marketing company with proven positive outcomes for educational institutions. Advanced 360 Education does not simply rely on instinct to make assumptions about audiences or key data points. Rather, through data intelligence, client strategies take on a higher level of effectiveness. To learn more, visit a360education.com or call Anthony Espinoza at 310-704-5369. That's 310-704-5369. That's Anthony Espinoza at Advanced 360 Education. So talk about Hope Forward. How does it take this anchored tuition pledge, money where your mouth is, and take Hope Forward and describe what Hope Forward is for everyone? Because you said it's not free tuition. It's almost like a deferred tuition model, with a pledge, so to speak, on the back end.
Yeah.
So describe it and then talk about why you think this is going to be transformational for your students.
Yeah, we call it Hope Forward because it's essentially a pay it forward vision for funding your education. If you step back and think about the way college is paid for today, Most students and families pay for their education either on a pay-as-you-go basis, where you're paying your college or university a lot of money at the start of every semester, or you pay for it through a pay-it-back mechanism, where you're actually paying a bank or a lender after you graduate because you've funded it through loans. And of course, most people pay through some combination of the two, pay-as-you-go and pay-it-back. And what we're saying with Hope Forward is, what if we could throw all that out the window? We essentially came to the conclusion that tuition as a way of funding college just makes no sense. And we can talk about how we came to that that conclusion if you want. But we came to that conclusion that the current model just doesn't make sense. And so we said, what if we could throw it out the window? And what we came up with is a pay it forward vision. We call it Hope Forward. And the way it would work is essentially this: students would come to Hope, they wouldn't pay any tuition upfront. Rather, what they do is sign a commitment. We call it a covenant. They sign this commitment, and what they're agreeing to do is to give something to Hope every year after they graduate. It doesn't specify an amount. It doesn't suggest a percentage of income, nothing like that. It just says you agree to give something. And we toyed with that a lot. We discussed whether or not we should put a suggestion on there or a percentage of income. We ultimately decided not to, because we want it to be a gift. And as soon as we say you agree to give a gift and we suggest X amount, then all of a sudden it doesn't actually feel like a gift anymore. It feels like a different flavor of a student loan bill. And we're trying to move away from a bill-based system to a generosity-based system, to a gift-based system. And so, that's essentially how it works. Students come, don't pay tuition up front, rather sign this commitment agreeing to give something every year after they graduate. And what they're doing then is they're not paying for their own education. Theirs was paid for. It was paid for from the generosity of others. What they're really doing is they're paying it forward. They're investing in the generations of students who come after them. And what we'll have once we're fully living into this is one way you could think about this is a crowdfunded model, so that our alumni would be crowdfunding our current students. And that, by the way, that's very much the way the Bible talks about how a Christian community ought to be functioning. It's this community that's taking care of itself, so that members in the community are taking care of other members in the community. And that's basically what we want to try to live into. Amazing, because the more we think about this, the deeper it gets. It sounds like such a simple idea on the surface, and it is. It's a relatively simple idea to wrap your head around, but the benefits of it are pretty dramatic. And as I said, we have a pilot group of students. We had 20 students who just completed their freshman year who are part of a first cohort piloting this for us. We're going to double the size of that cohort for year two, so we'll have a second cohort of roughly 40 students. And that means we'll have about 60 students on campus in the fall who are piloting this Hope Forward vision for us. We've already learned a ton, and we're testing some of our hypotheses. And it's just amazing what this does. Obviously, it solves the problem of access and affordability in a very radical way, so that no student has a financial barrier to overcome when they're thinking about coming to Hope College. It solves that in a very radical way. And we've seen with our cohorts that it's moving the needle very dramatically in terms of socioeconomic diversity, as well as geographic and racial diversity. So it solves the problem of access in a dramatic way. It also does a cool thing where it moves away from a sense of consumerism in higher education to, as I said, to a system based on generosity and gratitude. We think it's a problem that students have become customers. And that is the case. As the price of tuition has gone up, there is a growing sentiment in higher education that students have become customers. The interesting thing to think about is, first of all, like, what is a customer? A customer is someone with dollars in their hand looking to buy something. And the interesting thing to think about is, if students think they're customers, what is it that they're actually buying, or what do they think they're buying? Are they buying a job or a career? Are they buying a degree? Are they buying grades? Perhaps the answer is all of the above. But at the end of the day, like, that's not what we think we're selling. As I said, we think we're selling this transformational experience that's going to help you discover your purpose. And so we're actually excited about moving away from a sense of consumerism to a more pure kind of student-teacher relationship. C.S. Lewis, who was at Oxford, once referred to Oxford as a society for the pursuit of learning. And that's how we want to think of Hope College, this community of learners coming together, where students are entering into this community. By the way, through Hope Forward, they're committing to be part of this community for their whole lives, not just for 4 years. And faculty are coming in to be part of this community of learners. And it's a different way of thinking about ourselves. I don't like thinking about our institution as a business. I don't like thinking about us as a nonprofit. I like thinking about us as this community of learners that's coming together. And I think Hope Forward actually is a business model that will help us achieve that sense of community in a deeper way. Another thing it does, and I'll leave you with one more thought, and then see what questions are popping up in your mind. It gives students the dignity of being able to pay for their education again. They're just simply paying for it through gifts after they graduate, rather than paying for it through tuition or debt upfront. And today it's the case, you know, tuition is too expensive. You can't work enough summer jobs to pay tuition, which means that for the vast majority of our students, they're not paying for it. Their parents are paying for it, grandparents, funded through scholarships, someone else is paying for it for almost all of our students. And that has created, we think, a lack of skin in the game on the part of students. So there's a woman at UC Merced named Laura Hamilton. She's done some interesting research on this. Her research actually shows a negative correlation between the amount of money that parents pay for a student's college education and grades. So she's basically saying the more money your parents pay for your education, the lower your grades are, because you don't have skin in the game. You're not taking it as seriously if you're not the one putting your own skin in the game. And she wrote a book about her research. Her book is called Paying for the Party. And she's basically making the case that to the extent students are goofing off in college, it's because they don't feel skin in the game anymore, because tuition is so expensive that someone else has to pay for it. And what we're doing with Hope Forward is we're allowing students the dignity of having their own skin in the game, of being able to pay for it themselves, because students are, that's why I say it's not free tuition. Students have signed this commitment, and it's a very real commitment. It's a very personal commitment, because they're committing to give their own money after they graduate to this institution. And we think that creates cool skin in the game, both for our students. As I said, we think that ultimately will mean that they may feel the weight of that and actually take their education more seriously. It also creates skin in the game for us as an institution, because we then, the burden shifts to us. We have to make the education so good that students are grateful for it after they graduate. And the more grateful they are, the more they'll give, and the better, the more successful they are, the more opportunities they will have to be generous. So I think it creates a really interesting alignment of incentives there that we're excited about. So yeah, that's the idea. That's Hope Forward, and hopefully gives you a little bit of a flavor of what we think it will do and why we're excited about it.
Yeah, you've got a lot of layers in there. You said a lot. Student consumerism, the purity of what higher education's intent was, student debt, yeah. You know, the what really interesting part, because, I imagine myself sitting around the table as you guys talk about this, and there's got to be somebody that goes, you know what? These students are going to give us money in a gift. There's like the devil's advocate person that goes, sure. Well, what does this mean? They're going to give us $5 a month for forever. And then that's, you know, maybe that's right. But then somebody gives $500 a month. And you think about what this means, right? How you take a student and who gets into the Hope Forward program, show them how much it would have cost them, so that when they're done, right? Because all numbers are relative. When they're done, you know, on week one or month one of graduation, you could have been paying $500 to your student loans, but instead, right. You know, maybe you can give to Hope College, and that student says, you know, I'm going to give them $200. You know, so it's like you have to, you know, create this value by showing them what it would have done to them, and now they have all this discretionary income, and you're just asking for some of it back, and your hope, really, because so much of this is based in hope, of the generosity and humanity of yeah. humans versus our overwhelming sometimes selfishness, and that if you get something that has been given to you that you see value in, you will be willing to give back in that same level of value. Maybe not, maybe over time that value will grow with you, right? Because we know And you know this, when you come out of college with a four-year degree, sometimes you go work for in a job that's like $30,000 a year or $40,000 a year, and you wonder, what am I doing? And that $40,000 becomes $60,000, becomes $80,000, becomes $100,000 over the next 10 years or whatever. And your ability to give back on an elevator, so to speak, goes along with your career. I really see that this could be very valuable for a community if it's you know, I'm sure your pilots are giving you tons of information back and, you know, how to communicate and how to show that value. You're right, it does put onus on that institution, right? You can't have students that get out and say, my four years at Hope College I don't see the value in it, right? Because then that person isn't going to be the one that gives. You need to get them out and so that they're so impressed with the education, they go, oh, wow, I want to make the next student see this. So there's so much there. And do you guys get together? And so anyway, I'm getting to my point with all of this. Do you get together and you review? Are you reviewing monthly, quarterly, you know, semi-annually to say, hey, look, how are these kids progressing? How are we communicating to this value? How are they seeing the value? You know, what are their perceptions of their education so that you can manage that exit, so to speak?
Yes, the answer is all of the above. We do a weekly meeting where we're in real time trying to assess what we're learning. And then we've done a deep dive at the end of every semester. So we've only had two so far, but we did a deep dive and collected some data from the students themselves about what they're learning, what their sense of their education and the commitment they've made. So yeah, we do a deep dive on that every 6 months. And then we're kind of in real time trying to assess that. We've got sort of five key things that we're measuring. One is how this is moving the needle for access. Two is, are these students thinking about impact in a different way? One of our theses is that because students don't have the burden of debt, they'll be free to pursue impact, free to bring hope to hopelessness, we say, rather than chasing income to pay off their debt. So we want to tease out, are these students in fact thinking about the kind of impact they can have on the world in a different kind of way because of the way they've funded their education? Three, generosity, and we're trying to, obviously that's harder to measure when they're still in college, but we can measure how they're thinking about generosity, how they're thinking about living a life of gratitude. And obviously they've committed to give to Hope, so that's one thing, but we want them to be generous citizens of the world in all the ways we would define that. Fourth is, are they taking their education seriously? And this goes back to the skin in the game comments I made earlier. And then the last one is around mental health. And there's a lot of research now, the CDC actually has some interesting research showing negative correlation between student debt and mental health. And so one of our hypotheses is that without that burden of student debt, our Hope Forward students will have a better mental well-being. So those are the five big things that we're trying to measure. What we've got there is a mix of qualitative and quantitative metrics, and also a mix of shorter term and longer term things. So we're excited about this. I think it's, we're going to learn a lot. It's an interesting experiment, if nothing else. We're optimistic that, I should say we're hopeful. We're hopeful that this could be really big. But as I said, we're starting small so that we can test and learn and course correct along the way.
Epic.
I love it. I think it's a great idea. And I think it's the type of ingenuity and innovation higher ed needs. And it's really going to be interesting. And I know so many of the folks that are listening to this podcast will follow your journey. Any nervousness around? I mean, we asked this of a lot of higher ed folks around, you know, you talked about consumerism, all right? And you talked and you talk about, you know, an investment of higher education. Some people argue it's not an investment, that you pay money and you want to get, or you go into debt and you want to get something in return. And what's happening because of the increased cost of higher education is the emergence and growth of alternative credentials that are non-degree based. You know, when you talk about the purity of higher education, that learning and that thinking, it is really about a degree and the transformation of critical thinking and all these things. And you've got these alternative credentials, quick to job, quick to pathway, that are really siphoning off a big number of folks that would have entered the higher ed environment. How do you think about that at Hope College? Are you nervous about that? Does it feel like an opportunity for partnerships? How do you think about alternative credentialing?
I'll say this, we have some alternative credentialing that we offer here. We just think it's better if it's part of a broader, more holistic education. Look, it goes back to the question about what is the purpose of college? And if the purpose of college is simply to give you the quickest and fastest way to a job, there's way faster and way cheaper ways of getting your first job than going to an expensive four-year private liberal arts school. And that's great for some people. Not everybody's meant to go to the same type of school. But for people who want to come to a place like Hope and want to spend 4 years rolling around in the Gospel of John and Plato and Aristotle and go through this holistic education where they come through it with a better sense of themselves and a better sense of the world around them, those people are going to, at the end of the day, I'm convinced, in whatever sphere of the world they enter, they're going to make better citizens and better leaders. And they're going to have more successful lives. Like, I think if it's just about getting to your first job as fast as possible, you can get there pretty quick. You can go to a coding boot camp and learn how to code and go work in Silicon Valley and get a great high paying first job. The question is, like, what's the pathway from there? And what if that job doesn't exist 5 or 10 years from now because the entry level coding jobs have been there's a computer doing the coding now. And so I think what we're trying to do is just different than that. We do offer some credentials, but we view those credentials as sort of an adjacency to what our core, the core thing we offer at Hope, which is this mind, body, spirit, sort of transformational education. Again, it's not for everybody, but for some people, I think it's exactly the right thing.
Nailed it.
I agree. In fact, I think I'm right with you there where, you know, you wonder if you get that coding boot camp and you go get that great job, what comes after that? You know, a lot of students, you know, somebody's got to be leading those folks. Somebody's got to, you're going to get leadership skills. You're going to have to go back and have some type of formalized education. I think it might delay somebody's journey to higher ed, but they're eventually making their way back. Talk to me, and we like to close our episodes with the same two questions that we ask of everybody. That's, talk to me about Hope College. What did we not say about Hope that needs to be said? Anything you have coming up? By the way, you have one of the greatest domains ever, hope.edu. You figure that domain's worth something. But talk to me about anything that was unsaid that you plan to say today that we didn't get to. Just kind of plug away at the college and say anything that you think would have value for the audience. And then secondarily to that, what do you see as the future of higher education?
On the first one, I think we covered the main things. I think one question I get a lot around Hope Forward is because we're starting small and we believe this could be big, one question I often get is, like, why are you talking about this so publicly? And the answer is, we're talking about it publicly because we'd love for this to start a movement. Like, in other words, I don't.
How dare you talk about your innovative initiatives at Hope College?
Well, yeah, because a lot of people view this as like, oh, it must be some kind of marketing gimmick, or it must be some like way to increase your yield or to attract more students. And it's not that. We're actually trying to start a movement with a new way of thinking about how we can fund higher education. And as I said, I think so many people admit that the current model is broken. As I look across the landscape of higher education, and I still feel relatively new to this, I'm just starting my fourth year as president, and I came from the business world before this, so I'm still pretty new to this world. As I look across the landscape of higher education, I just don't see a lot of people doing really interesting, innovative things around the business model. And that's what we're trying to do. We have a great educational product. We're proud of it. We're competing with the best schools in the world academically. We just think it's the funding model doesn't make any sense anymore. And we're trying to start, as I said, trying to start a movement around that. So that's the reason for kind of why we're talking about this so publicly. It's actually not a marketing gimmick at all. It's the opposite. Joe, what was your second question?
What do you see as the future of higher education?
Oh, yeah, just a small little question to end on. I mean,
we quote you and put you all over social media on this one. No, we don't. We don't do that.
I think it's I agree with you, what you said at the beginning. Higher education will endure. It's not going away. I think it's gonna evolve a little bit. I think there's a really interesting blurring of the line that's happening right now, blurring of the line between college and corporation. You have some very large companies that are basically starting their own, they don't call them colleges, maybe some of them do, but they're starting their own educational programs within their company. And in kind of a mirror image of that, a lot of colleges are doing really interesting things around experiential learning. And so I think there's an interesting blurring of the line between the corporation and the college that I'm excited about that and what I see happening there in terms of innovation, both from the private sector and from the education sector. So I think there's some cool things happening there. I think there's really interesting questions around the future of learning. What should students be learning? What does the curriculum of the future look like? How should students learn? I think we all learned, I think a decade ago, everybody probably would have said MOOCs and online learning is the future. I think that works for some people, but what we learned during the pandemic is that our students don't want it. This is the generation that people before the pandemic were calling the iGen, the generation that's hooked to their screens. And when we went online during those first months of the pandemic, it was our students who were the first ones saying, we want to be back in person. And it was the iGen that was actually clamoring to be back in community. And so I think my view is that while 10 years ago, we may have thought the future is really in MOOCs and online learning, I'm not convinced that's the case anymore, at least for the students that we serve at Hope. I think there's a lot to be said for a residential liberal arts college where you're learning in the classroom and then you go back to your residence hall and you talk about what you're learning in the classroom with your peers, and that sort of 24/7 learning just continues and then goes on into your future. I think there's lots of interesting things happening and being talked about with regard to lifelong learning. Again, one thing we're excited about with Hope Forward is having an alumni population that's agreeing to be part of our community for their entire lifetime. And we think there's really interesting opportunities for that. One way you can think about Hope Forward, by the way, is it's moving from a pay-for-service model to a subscription-based model. And we've seen that shift take place in the corporate world in a very dramatic way, where so many companies have moved to a subscription model. And I think there's really interesting questions about what that might look like in the education sector. We think Hope Forward is one way you could go after it, where we're saying to our students, we want to be engaged with you for your whole lifetime, and we want you to commit to the same. You're not committing to a four-year engagement. You're committing to this lifelong partnership, and we're in it with you. By the way, when our Hope Forward students sign this covenant, I sign it and they sign it. So it's like the institution is signing it with them, and we're entering into this sort of covenantal relationship where we're agreeing to be committed to each other for their whole lifetime, which I think is really distinct and cool. So yeah, I think there's lots of interesting things happening. I think the one where I see the most, the lack of progress, to be honest, is around the financial model. So many places are just kind of, I don't know, sitting around waiting for, a solution to drop in from the heavens and fix it for them. And it's not going to happen. The politicians are not going to solve this one. So I think there really needs to be some innovation around how college is paid for. And I think that's where, that's where we view Hope taking a leadership role.
You know, one of the things that you said that resonates with me a lot is the fact of the residential education piece. And you think about these high school kids and I have many around me who missed their junior and senior year of high school. And now their parents are saying, we want you to go away and we want you to go to school and live with other kids and get out of the house. No, but I mean, there's a lost experience. And so I know there's an enrollment cliff coming. That enrollment cliff was coming demographically before the pandemic. So you just wonder how the pandemic will change that cliff. And if we're offering the type of education that people want to see in the world, then they're still going to come and send their kid, and they're going to go find it as an adult too. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been an amazing episode with Matt. Matt, how was your EdUp experience today?
It was pretty amazing, just like you promised, Joe.
Well, I did have this button.
Amazing.
So I did. I say we'd have a little bit of fun along the way. Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Matthew Scogan. He's president of Hope College. And he was here to talk about, particularly about Hope College and Hope Forward, a very innovative way of thinking about student progress and student debt. Matt, thank you so much for coming on the EdUp Experience today.
Thanks for having me, Joe. It's been a lot of fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just EdUpped. Effective marketing for educational institutions requires a dedicated partner that understands the complex, constantly evolving digital landscape in which colleges, universities, and career schools compete. The EdUp Experience podcast partner, Advance 360 Education, is a data-focused digital marketing company with proven positive outcomes for educational institutions. Advance 360 Education does not simply rely on instinct to make assumptions about audiences or key data points. Through data intelligence, client strategies take on a higher level of effectiveness, whether the goal is driving enrollment, alumni engagement, or other educational marketing campaigns. To learn more, visit a360education.com or call Anthony Espinoza at 310-704-5369. That's Anthony Espinoza, 310-704-5369, a360education.com.